not any law in the land, anywhere in the world, that can separate me and you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Nothing. And we need to say, Lord, you know, we want to be right, but we're not going to deny you. We're not going to go against what the Word of God says.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello and welcome, everybody. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Does Submission Have a Limit? As a study from the Epistle of Romans continues. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
The devil was the leader of the first rebellion ever in the universe. What did he rebel against? He rebelled against the government of God. He said, I will be like the Most High God. What happened? God cast him out of heaven along with his angels. They're now dwelling upon this place called Earth. Now listen, we know, like the Bible tells us, about the world that we live in. 1 John 5:19. We know that we're of God and that the whole world, the nations of the world, lies in the sway of the wicked one, or literally could be translated, is unconscious in the arms of the devil. What a terrible thought. You know, Revelation 12:9 tells us that one day during the great tribulation period, it's the devil who deceives the whole world. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. I'll tell you something. You know, the Bible tells us that when anything in any government starts contradicting, leaving out, removing God's word, you know what results in the government? Confusion. Let me say that word again. Confusion. Matter of fact, say that with me. Confusion. Have you ever, I'm not speaking against the president, vice president, speaker of the house. I'm not speaking against anybody. But there is confusion going on right now. Come on. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in my life. The confusion in our land. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, For God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of the state of disorder. He doesn't do that. But he is the God of peace. When confusion is the absence of God's peace. Let me ask you a question. Is our government, and I love this nation. Listen, we pray for our country. On Saturdays, we have the names of all the Senate, the House, the Chief Judge, everybody is there. We pray because we love our nation. We want to see God make America godly again, that it will be great again. Now, with all that being said, you know, when our government, I mean, we look at it, is it confused? I mean, they don't even know what marriage is anymore. Do you understand? I mean, they've totally removed the oldest foundation in the entire world. They've redefined our government. Our leaders have redefined what marriage is. I say that they are highly confused, and they're highly confused about what is wrong and what is right. Not only that, the Bible tells us in James 3:16, it says, where envy and self-seeking exist, listen carefully, confusion, a state of disorder, confusion, and every evil thing are there. When you see those things operating in any government, any family, any person, loved one, you need to know that the evil one has established a foothold, and that is what's happened in our nation. Now look at verse 5. Therefore, you be subject not only because of wrath, in other words, because you might be punished, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, meaning the last few verses we've covered, you also pay what? You didn't say that very loud. I heard sadness. I mean, that wasn't even a happy thought, was it? No, you pay taxes. Why? For they, the tax collectors, are what? That's got to be a mistranslation. They're God's ministers. Have you ever called the internal, or somebody said infernal, revenue service? Have you ever called them God's ministers? No. I mean, but I'm going to be, okay, they're God's ministers. And look what they do, attending continually to this very thing. Now listen, remember earlier that word minister that we went over? I said it's the word diakonos. which is, we get our word deacon, it just means serve. Now, this word here is not the same in the Greek. This word right here is a word, this word minister, that we get our word liturgy. That's a religious term, isn't it? Right? Okay, now, it's also used in Hebrews 1:14, speaking of angels. Are they not God's ministering spirits? Now, so this means something. It's very important. Verse 5 and 6, it means, since that word, that religious word is used, it means that these tax collectors are servants of the government. They occupy a divinely appointed office without a religious function. That's why we pay taxes. Now listen, not only that, this means that the governing authorities, the tax collectors, people in office, whatever it might be, they owe their authority not to man, not to the people who voted for them, but to God Almighty. Because he's the one who, do you understand what I'm saying? They say, oh, that's so important, and even though they wouldn't believe it. But we're to pay taxes because of conscience sake, too. I mean, you don't want to cheat the government or anything like that. You know, I read this story about this guy on the tax office. He got a letter from his conscience. He was all worried, and he says, listen, dear sir, talking to the tax office, said, listen, my conscience bothered me. Here is the $175 I owe you in back taxes. P.S. If my conscience still bothers me, I'll send the rest. I don't know where that came from. But you know what? To pay our taxes, it doesn't mean that the way they tax us is fair, right? You get taxed on everything. I mean, listen, you know, think about this. You pay in Social Security all of your life, right? And then when you get old and say, I want to draw it, do they tax it? They're going to, yeah, they want to tax. I said, I've already paid taxes on that. Never mind. Doesn't that bother someone? So I just read that scripture to myself and I go, well, they're God's ministers. No, you know I don't do that. But it's true. Now listen, Jesus told us to pay our taxes, didn't he? Jesus said in Matthew 22:21, render or pay back. It means an obligation. It means a responsibility. Render, therefore, to Caesar things. Caesar, things to God are the things of God. Now listen, we need to pay our taxes. Don't rip anybody off. But here's what they need to know too. The Internal Revenue Service, the Pentagon, every nation on earth, every government on earth, one day they will all stand before God and they will give an account of what they did, just like we will. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, look at verse 7 now. So render therefore all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to him honor. So in other words, God appoint them, we respect it, we're going to pay our taxes. Amen? If we don't pay our taxes, number one, it is a crime against our government. Number two, it is a sin against God. We should be people that pay our taxes. Now, with all those verses now that we've covered, I need to ask you some questions. Do Christians or should Christians obey civil authorities unconditionally? That's a very important word. You know, what if Congress right now, what if they passed a law about your children? And they're always doing that. You know what I'm saying? They're always messing around with something they shouldn't. And what if they passed a law like they've done all over Europe that says you can no longer discipline your children, let's say by spanking. Okay, Sweden's passed that, Denmark's passed that. But the Word of God says for us to discipline our children, doesn't it? You know, what are we going to do? Do we obey the law of the land? And we say, well, God told us to raise up our children the right way. It doesn't mean we beat them to death or hurt them or any of those things. We just gently do what God says. What if they outlawed today, you cannot discipline your children, not even verbally, because you're destroying the little ones. You're hurting their self-esteem. They're going to grow up corrupt. No, well, they're already corrupt if they're not born again, okay? That went over big. You know what a pastor that I respect highly and is a great Bible teacher over in Dallas, you know what he said about this verse? Let me read it to you. He said this, whether the government is a dictatorship or democratic, the Christian's obligation is to submit to it the same. Man, I said, is that right? The government's going to tell the highest authority in the world what is right and wrong? Are you hearing me? Our government's going to say, no, God's called you to pray, but you can't pray in school. You know, now they ban cigarette smoking about everything. Now they're starting to ban it in state parks. I mean, not just parks in general, can't smoke outside, which is good, with, thank God. But why would you want to ban the name of Jesus from our schools? Who gives them or anyone the right to say, I cannot say Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is my Lord, and he has saved me when I was deep in sin and my life was falling apart, and he changed my life? No government should have the authority to tell me that I can't say Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior. You understand? Now you say, Bill, cause a riot or revolution. No, loved one. Listen, I'm not. When Paul penned Romans 13, he wasn't thinking about one particular government or another. That's not even listed here. Again, what is he telling us? He's saying, listen, government is a divine institution given to humans. That's what he's saying. And government should be good to people. That's what it's about. Listen, I don't want to upset you, you know, but the left and the right here. Jesus is not a Democrat, okay? I don't know. I'm just joking. And he's not a Republican. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Amen? Yeah. And someone one time said, Jesus is the ultimate independent. Yeah. And his vote is the only one that counts, all right? And that's the truth. Why? Because he is God. Now listen, so do we submit to everything, or do we have a higher authority that takes precedent? Since governments are appointed by God, human institutions, by God, then they are to respect God's laws, God's word upon this planet. The problem is, so few do. But if you study your Bibles, talking about how far do we submit? How far do we really go? How far do we just finally say, okay, whatever you say goes. You know, I won't ever say the name of Jesus. We'll take the crucifix off the top of the steeple of the church or whatever. We'll get off the radio. We'll send our sermons to the mayor of Houston. Remember that one? She would want to hear some of mine. Are there any examples of godly saints, Old Testament, New Testament, that told the government, not in a mean way, but said, you know what, I can't obey you? Let me just give you a few. How about in Exodus chapter 1, verse 17? Remember the story. Here you have the children of Israel. They're in bondage to the Pharaoh in Egypt. He gets freaked out because, man, they are multiplying, and he's afraid they're going to overtake them. So he goes to the midwives, and the midwives, two of them are mentioned there, Shua, I think it is, or Sapra and Pua. Anyway, and he tells them, he says, I'm commanding you that whenever the Hebrew women, when they give birth, if it is a boy, kill it. If it's a girl, let it live. And what did the midwives do? They had a command. They had a law that was passed by the most powerful man there in the world at that time. It says in Hebrews 1:17, but the midwives feared Pharaoh. No. They feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but saved the male children alive. Now listen, the midwives, believers in God, had a choice. Obey Pharaoh or to obey God. Now, what did they do? They obeyed the Lord because they knew that God's word is right. So what did they do? What did God do? God blessed them. Remember, he gave them their own family, their own households, because God blessed them. There's over and over in scriptures replete with saints of God who opposed the government they were under. How about this one in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We all know this one. You know, the king passed a law there, you know, that said, listen, here's the golden image, and when I set it up, and whenever Kevin comes out with the praise band, you know, remember that one? You know I'm teasing you. And they come out with the harp and all the, he says, everyone, all day, everybody, you fall down and worship. Remember that? Okay, well, here it comes. So here comes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were said, king, they didn't bow down. And if they don't bow down, you said there's a fiery furnace, you're going to throw them all into it. Listen to what they said in Daniel 3:17. They said to the king, oh, listen, we know you passed a law. He said, if this is the case, in other words, if you're going to really throw us in there, he says this, our God whom we serve, whom we love, whom we serve, who we adore, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. They're not being rude. They're being very respectful. But if not, if he doesn't deliver us, our faith is not going to fall apart. You're looking in the eyes of the most powerful man in the world. There's a fiery furnace that's getting ready to be heated up 7 times hotter than it is right at that moment. He says, you know what? But if God doesn't do it, he says, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You know the story. I don't even need to go. They threw him into the furnace, and guess who was down there? Nebuchadnezzar said, looks like, didn't we throw 3 in? But there looks like there's a 4th, and he looks like the Son of God. Amen? Listen, they obeyed the Lord. They didn't say, okay, if my life is going to perish, it's going to perish. Listen, how about King Darius under Daniel, when Daniel was there, and he made this law that you shall not pray to any man, to any god for 30 days, and if you do so, and we catch you doing that, then you are going to be cast into the lion's den. What did Daniel, now that was a law. It was a law of the Medes and the Persians. Once King Darius made that law, it cannot be changed. That was the law. It was unchangeable. So what did Daniel do when he heard that that law, that decree had been written? He went back to his house and listened carefully from Daniel 6:10. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, meaning the law, he went home and in his upper room with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days. Now listen to me. Daniel could have prayed quietly. Do you understand? He didn't have to open the windows, and he could, but he didn't. He said, no, listen, there's not a law that a man can pass to tell me not to pray to my God. He blatantly was disobedient. And he said, you know what he was saying? He's saying, let me tell you something. I would rather be eaten by lions than miss the 9 a.m. Calvary Chapel prayer time on Saturday. What about in the New Testament? Just one example. What about when the highest court in the land there in Israel, when they forbid Peter, James, all the disciples, said, listen, we forbid you to preach in the name of Jesus ever again. What did Peter say in Acts 5:29? He says, we ought to obey God instead of man. The word ought there means must. The word means I have an obligation. I have an obligation to say that your law can never supersede my Father's law. And I'm going to do what he says. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to disrespect you, but I'm telling you that I love God. And I'm going to do exactly what he says. So should we Christians obey civil authorities absolutely unconditionally? Let me give you the words from Pastor Kent Hughes, who said about that. He said, a Christian must disobey his government when called upon, and he gives 3 things. Number one, if called upon to violate, meaning by the government, a commandment of God, or commit an immoral or unethical act, or go against his Christian conscience, a conscience which is informed by Scripture. John Stott put it this way, we are to submit right up to the point where obedience to the state would entail disobedience to God. But if the state commands what God forbids or forbids what God commands, then our plain Christian duty is to resist, not to submit, to disobey the state in order to obey God. Why do we obey the laws of the land that we live in? And most of the laws really they're certainly not in violation of God's law. Amen? Why is it that we obey? We really don't submit to our government. We submit to our government because we're submitting to God. In other words, he's the true ruler. He's the one who has authority over everything. We go to him and say, Lord, you bet. If you want us to submit to this, you bet. We have to, you know, go to bed at 9 o'clock, turn off the lights. If that's a new law, that's fine. You know, if we're going to have daylight savings time, those, you know, okay, Lord, I'm going to go along with it. I'm not going to like it. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, but when you start telling me that I can't love my Lord, then you've drawn the line. You see, we have overcome this world. because we are in him who has overcome this world. And there is nothing, say that word, nothing, not one law, not one dictator, not one president, not Senate, not Congress, not any law in the land, anywhere in the world that can separate me and you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Nothing. And we need to say, Lord, you know, we want to be right, but we're not going to deny you. We're not going to go against what the Word of God says. You know, one day we're going to be taken home. The rapture could occur today, tomorrow. I don't know. And we want to be good citizens, and I want to be a good citizen. And the truth is, we're not persecuted like other nations are persecuted, okay, for being a Christian. And thank God for that. But you know, one day after the rapture, after the great tribulation is ended, and when we come back with our Savior, may I tell you what's going to happen? Let me just read it to you, and we're going to close. Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," here it is, "and the government will be upon his shoulder." He's the one going to run everything again. Amen? Now, and not only that, this is going to happen, of course, at the second coming. We're going to come back with him. And it goes on to say in Isaiah 9:7, "And of the increase of his government," the increase of his government and peace. Oh, there'll be no end. It'll be forever and ever and ever and ever. And he will sit upon the throne of David over the kingdom, and he will order it. He will establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, listen carefully, even forever and ever and ever and ever. Every nation on earth ought to tremble because the one who has all authority, they're going to be all called in that day at the great white throne judgment. Oh, they're going to stand before him. Oh, the Stalins and the Hitlers and Idi Amin's and the people that killed so many people, murdered so many people, gassed so many people. They're going to give an account to God. And we're going to be there with the one who rules the world, the universe, and we will reign and serve him forever and ever and ever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you, in the Word of God, that we didn't skip over those seven verses because they give us strength. Strength to pray for our government, strength to pray for our America. And God, that's what we do right now. We pray over our nation, over Congress, over the Senate, over the House, over all of them, Lord, over the Chief Justices, the Supreme Court of the land, over Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, over the Vice President, the President, Lord, over everyone in authority in our nation, from mayors to policemen, firemen, Lord. Oh God, we pray over them. Make America godly again. Make it godly again, O Lord. Remove the blindness and the hardness of heart from our government. And let them understand that a house divided cannot stand, and that they are servants of the living God. And the government that they serve is a divine institution implemented by God. Give them wisdom. And Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here, they said, Bill, and they don't know Jesus as Lord. And Father, I pray at the end of the song service, they'll come right down here where they will find godly men and women who will lead them and introduce them to Jesus Christ. We love you, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, and the fairest of thousands. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good. Stand to our feet this morning, shall we?
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with another message from God's Word. We look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you for listening along with us. Be blessed, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions,
please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.